Acts chapter 2, and we'll read from verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marvelled, saying one to another, "Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, and the dwellers in Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia, in Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, in Egypt, and in the parts of Libya about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes. Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God." And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, "What meaneth this?" Others mocking said, "These men are full of new wine." Amen. May God bless this reading. After the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ on the Mount of Olives, we are told that the disciples returned to Jerusalem. That's what they had been instructed to do, and that was where they had to stay until the Lord was pleased to send the gift of the Holy Spirit upon them. We're told that the Lord had spent 40 days with the disciples after he rose from the dead. And before he ascended into heaven, there was a period of 40 days. And in Acts chapter 1 verse 3, we're told about these 40 days. He showed himself alive after his passion, after his crucifixion, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. These were important days for the disciples, because the Lord taught them and told them things, began to unpack and reveal things to them that they had perhaps heard before or perhaps never been told. But things to do with the kingdom of God, things to do with the establishment of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ here upon earth. But he also told them that they were not to be afraid, that there would be a helper sent to them. They were to stay in Jerusalem until this helper, this comforter, this empowerment should come upon them. Now, Pentecost, the word, means 50 days. And that was 50 days from the time of the Passover. So you remember that the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified at the Passover. He rose again 3 days later. He spent 40 days with the disciples. And Pentecost was 50 days. So I think that the disciples probably only waited on the Holy Spirit for about a week. And here they were all together in one place and with one accord. It may be that it was only the immediate apostles, or it may be that there were very many more people here together. Certainly, it seems that when we read about them all being together in chapter 1, there was a large number of them all together. And it's quite likely that there were more than just the 11 apostles together with the new apostle Matthias here at this time. But suddenly, we're told, as they sat together, there was the sound of a rushing mighty wind. This was the promise of God being given to them. And the room in which they sat was filled with the noise of this wind, and the power of God came upon them. Not only was there wind, there was fire. Or it was the appearance of fire. We're told that it was cloven tongues like fire. And I think that that's very interesting, that these are the two ways in which the Holy Spirit was manifested to the disciples. Do you remember when the Lord Jesus Christ was filled with the Spirit, when the Holy Spirit descended on him? It came as a dove. It came and rested on the Lord as a dove. We might have expected a whole flock of doves to arrive here in the room, but that wasn't what happened. It was a mighty wind, and it was tongues of fire. I wonder why that symbolism was used for the coming of the Holy Spirit. I'll tell you what I think. I think that that is to show us the importance of the preaching of the gospel. This kingdom of God that the Lord Jesus Christ had spoken over these 40 days about with the disciples was the great work of the commission of the preaching of the gospel, of taking the gospel from that little room there in Jerusalem all those years ago. The gospel was to be spread right round the whole world. And these men had the responsibility, the commission, the obligation to take it out to the world. And that rushing wind, it speaks of the breath of God. And the cloven tongue like fire, it looked like the tongue. And how is it that you speak? You speak when breath passes over the tongue. That's the way that speaking takes place. And that's what these men were called to do. To herald, to declare, to preach, to speak gospel truth to the men and women of the world. And here was the power to do so. Here was the empowerment and the emboldening presence of God with these people. And we are told that when the Holy Spirit came and fell upon them, that they spoke in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, the interesting thing about that, I think, is that the languages that the disciples or the apostles spoke were real languages. They were languages that they'd never learned in school, that they'd never learned from a textbook. The Holy Spirit gave them the miraculous gift of being able to speak in different languages. Now, I'm not sure that the Word of God tells us this expressly, but I wonder if these apostles were given the languages that directed them where to go in the world. Have you ever thought about that? That these languages were given to them so that they could speak the languages to the part of the world that they were being sent to. And so it is that the Lord prepared these men to carry the gospel to the ends of the earth. Sometimes you'll hear people talking about being filled with the Holy Spirit and being able to speak in tongues. And there are certain kinds of churches that we have around and about today, and they make a big thing of that. But when these people speak in their so-called tongues, they don't speak foreign languages. They speak a form of just noise. Words that have no sense, words that have no ability to be meaningful to the person that's hearing them. And so what they have to have as well is an interpreter of the tongues. But what's that about? The gospel is clear. The gospel is to be preached in the language of the people to whom it comes. And in order to get that momentum, in order to get that speed of dissemination and distribution, the Lord provided these apostles with the languages of the people to whom they were to speak. And there's a whole big list of them there in verses 9 and 10. All of the languages of the people that were there in Jerusalem at that time. And undoubtedly many more as well. And it's interesting what these people say when, if you look at verse 11, so there's a big list of the people, and then it ends with the Cretes and Arabians. And here's what they say. We do hear them speak in our tongues. We hear them speaking in our languages. And what did they hear them speaking in their languages? The wonderful works of God. You see, as soon as the Holy Spirit came to these men, as soon as he told them that or empowered them to declare this word, the message that they preached was the wonderful works of God. What is the wonderful works of God? Except the way of salvation by the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see the balance that there is here? You see the beauty of the purposes and plan of God? So these men began to preach the gospel, and those who were there heard the gospel. And you know what I think is lovely? See all these nations that are spoken about in 9 and 10. These people were here in Jerusalem because they had come for a special feast. They had come for this feast of Pentecost. It was called the Feast of Weeks or Pentecost because it was 50 days after the Passover. They'd all come to Jerusalem. Jerusalem was full of people. It was packed with lots of different people from lots of different countries. What happened to those people after the feast? The feast lasted, I think it was just a one-day feast, but it would go on for about 7 days afterwards. What happened to those people at that time? They all went back to their own country. But what did they go back to their country with? Talk about having been to the feast at Jerusalem? Yes, but something else too. Talk about having heard something amazing. Having been present in Jerusalem when something wonderful took place. And they heard the gospel of Jesus Christ in their own tongue. So they carried the message back with them. And sometimes we find in the Acts of the Apostles that when the apostles go to a certain town or a certain city, they discover that there's already a group of believers there. And you think to yourself, how did that church become established? How did that church start? And it may well be that the Lord had taken that message here from the day of Pentecost and spread it out through these very countries that these people were present from. But there's always somebody going to pour cold water on anything wonderful that happens. And so it was in Jerusalem. Do you know what the people said? Some of them said, this is amazing. We can hear the gospel in our own tongues. We're hearing the wonderful works of God. And some people said, nah, don't listen to them. These men are drunk. They thought that it was all a big hoax, a big mistake. But this is how there will always be those who mock the gospel. No matter where we are, and how it happens, there will be some who will dismiss the power of the gospel, and they will say it's just nonsense, and they will deal with it flippantly, and they'll say it's nothing. Just some people getting too excited, just some people failing to be balanced in their approach to things. But this was an important day. This was the day of Pentecost. This was the day of power. This was the day of the coming of the Holy Spirit and power upon his church and people. This was the promise of the Father being given to the apostles to equip them for the message of preaching the gospel to the world. Let me just say one more thing about it and then we're done. This was a single event. It was a single, unrepeatable event. Now, I'm not saying that as we get into the Acts that we won't see the Holy Spirit coming on other people also. And we will discover, if we have time to go through these chapters together, that also the Holy Spirit fell on Cornelius. And there's aspects of that too. But this was a one-off event. This was the coming of the Holy Spirit upon the apostles. And the apostles were given that power to take the word of God to the ends of the earth. And just remember, when other people might speak to you in the future about speaking in tongues, these languages that were heard were real languages that were given for a real purpose, and their usefulness was to declare the gospel of Jesus Christ to those who hear. Thank you for listening.